Teaching English Radio, brought to you by the British Council.
A radio series for teachers of English.
Welcome to today's programme in our series for teachers of English. I'm Sarah Bradshaw and I've worked as a teacher and teacher trainer. I'll be introducing the concerns and ideas of many teachers from around the world. Today, we're looking at a reality many teachers face, very large classes, and a technique to get everyone working actively. Yes, group work. Later, we visit a classroom in Ethiopia to hear group work in action. And we'll conclude by thinking about how large classes can work really well. Stay with us for some ideas that you could adapt for your own teaching situation. How do you feel about managing a large class? Is it a problem or a pleasure? Let's meet some of the teachers who we're joining in this discussion. First, here's Georgina, who has taught in China and Taiwan, as well as her native South Africa. Listen to her first reaction to a very large class.
My first initial experience was walking into the classroom that had very small windows, lots of desks. The students were seated from the very front of the classroom right to the back, with students' backs even touching the back of the classroom. And I didn't really know how I was going to teach them what I needed to teach them.
Georgina's initial experience of facing 80 students was a shock. She had been trained to teach communicatively. But how could she teach so many students effectively? Here's Dyer, another teacher and trainer, and he's told us that in his country, large classes are typical, but they pose a problem for many teachers.
In Nepal, teachers are facing a lot of challenges. Large class size, small classrooms, fixed furniture. The curriculum suggests that the teachers should use group work. Communicative competency is the most important thing. Therefore, they have to get their students into group and work together, which is very challenging for the teachers.
Dyer explains that in Nepal, the curriculum states that students should learn to communicate effectively in English. So teachers are expected to deal with big classes and to do that using communicative techniques, such as group work. But they find this a challenge. The useful thing about group work is that it can be used for almost all areas of classroom practice, for grammar and writing tasks, for reading and taking notes while listening. But of course, group work is excellent for speaking and listening, because in groups, students can practice simultaneously. So instead of only one or two people practicing the language and everyone else just listening, with group work, everyone gets a chance to be active. So, why is it that so many teachers are worried about letting their students work in groups?
If you think that you are the centre of the class, I think one of the fears that you might experience is the fear of losing control of the class and behaviour, but especially control, because the moment you step in and you find 40 students there, then you might think that you won't be able to cope with the class, that you will lose control of it. Then you're afraid of not being responsive to every student inside the classroom.
That's the voice of Dario, a teacher from Patagonia in the south of Argentina. He talks about the fear of losing control. If we let our students work in groups, could it change the teacher's role? Will it appear that the teacher is no longer in charge? And how will the students behave? Will they make too much noise? This might disturb other classrooms. The result of all these worries is that many teachers avoid group speaking activities.
You're listening to An Introduction to Teacher Development, a radio series for teachers of English, brought to you by the British Council.
We're talking about using group work in large classes. And it's time to travel to Ethiopia, where Jacob has a report direct from the classroom. Jacob went to observe and record an English lesson at a school in Addis Ababa. Listen to the steps that the teacher, Mr. Tamra, takes as he organises a grade 10 speaking class. We'll hear later from the teacher directly about his objectives for the lesson.
As Tamra told me, the focus of today's lesson was on agreement, the main objective of which was to introduce learners how to agree and disagree in English using the appropriate expressions. I tried to observe each step of Tamrat's lesson, the techniques and methodology he used to handle such a large class. Tamra first wrote 6 titles of different topics on the blackboard. He then introduced the aim of the day's lesson and reminded the students to select one topic for the lesson. While students were reading the 6 titles, Tamra was writing different important expressions that show how to agree and disagree in English on the other side of the blackboard. After 5 or 6 minutes of lively discussion, the teacher then asked the students to sort themselves into small groups according to their view on the issue.
Is it clear? Do you think that the title is convincing? Yes? Have you got my idea?
Yes.
So now, let's have a small group. In each group, you need to select 1 or 2 spokesperson and then try to present. While the discussion comes, you need to have a secretary or writer, and then he need to jot down every ideas of the group. Then he presents the idea of the group, not the idea of his own. Do you understand? All right. So let's begin.
The students were divided into 11 different small groups. Each group consisted of 6 students with different skills and language ability. As Tamra told me, after this, he considered the class to be made of only 11 students. While they were doing this, he was walking around the classroom giving instructions and assistance as necessary, either for language difficulty or clarification.
I know that in this developing country that the girl have not enough money or to have to need.
The students chose to debate a topic which compared the lives of boys and girls in Ethiopia. They had a lot to say and used the target language, expressions for agreeing and disagreeing, as they discussed the topic in groups. Once the groups were ready, the teacher invited them to present their views.
All right, so each group needs to present the group idea. The presenter or the spokesperson is supposed to present the idea of the group. Now let's begin.
Okay?
While the presenters presented their group ideas, the others were listening to them attentively.
Thank you for this chance, mister. And then let me reflect our group's idea. And our groups agree by some ideas about this.
In this group, there are the spokesperson. There are 2 presenters. So the first has finished, so let's listen to the second one.
Thank you, Mr. Tamra, for this opportunity. By the name of my classmates.
Finally, the teacher congratulated all the students for what they had done, and he summed up the important points of the lesson once again.
All right, so I am very happy for your discussion, and next time we'd have similar debate. I hope we'll do next time. That's the end for today. Thank you.
Here's Mr. Tamra talking about his objectives.
My intention, of course, was to see how students disagree and agree in English. How do they emphasize their points? How do they present their ideas? Just like public speech, and how influence the other students. So I need to find a debate which helps them to agree and disagree.
Teaching English Radio, brought to you by the British Council.
We're talking about group work in large classes. So, what ideas can we take away from Mr. Tamra's lesson? Let's reflect on how he organised that speaking class. To get the students to practice agreeing, disagreeing, and expressing their views, Mr. Tamra provided a choice of discussion topics. Topics chosen carefully to suit his students. He ensured the debate would hold their interest. He was highly organised, and his students were experienced in this kind of activity. For example, while the students decided on which topic they wanted, Mr. Tamra wrote up key expressions on the board, such as, I agree with you, I don't agree with you because, and in my view. The class was divided into those in favour and those against, and then he arranged 11 groups, making sure that each group had a mixture of opinions. They chose a secretary to make notes and a presenter to report back to the class. During the discussion phase, the teacher's role changed. Instead of standing at the front, he moved around listening to the group discussions, but only intervening if help were needed. With the discussion over, the presenters reported back from the groups, with the teacher managing the feedback. The benefit of using groups meant that instead of dealing with 60 students, Mr. Tamra heard from only 11 representatives.
I found this large class as a resource for the debate. And I learned that the more students you have in one class, you will have more ideas to be raised. And it was really manageable. And finally, it was really a successful class that I had.
If you plan to try out a speaking activity like this, it's obviously important to make sure your neighbours are not disturbed. Successful group work needs careful management and planning, but we'll discuss this further in other programmes. But now, let's hear from Georgina and Dario again. They've talked about the challenges of large classes, but now let's hear about the positive side.
You have many students that come from different backgrounds, they have different experiences, and as a teacher you can really draw on those experiences and get students doing activities that enable them to practice their English and learn from each other.
I think that one of the ideas that we teachers can try out with large classes, first of all, is to let go. Because if you let the students work in groups, they will manage themselves because they want to work, they want to be heard, they want to hear their own classmates inside the group.
The positive thing about large classes is that you've got more life and more dynamism from the students, and they are more participative, more creative, because they get together in larger groups. And even the less motivated ones can become more and more motivated because of the dynamism which springs out from the group.
Georgina, Dario, and finally Mirani, a teacher from Madagascar. Large classes are a reality for many teachers around the world, especially in the state sector. As we've heard today, if we want to develop our students' fluency and ability to communicate in English, then using group work will help. If set up carefully, it will give all the students a chance to participate and practice. The teacher's role changes during group work. While the students work in groups, the teacher moves away from the front of the class and quietly monitors. You are giving more responsibility to your students, and there are many rewards. We've heard group work in action in a debate. It can be highly motivating for students. They participate and are active, and we can draw on their own knowledge and experience. As Mirani says, dynamism springs from the group. That's all from this edition of An Introduction to Teacher Development from the British Council. We'll be looking at group work and pair work again. I hope you've heard some good ideas to adapt for your teaching situation. This is Sarah Bradshaw. Until next time, goodbye.